I'd like to begin by thanking Jon Snow for opening this important event, and to the Cabinet Ministers who are here today, and to those of you who have walked this difficult road with me in the last 15 years. It has been 15 years, 10 months, and 2 days since the devastating murder of my son, Stephen Lawrence. The sheer brutality of Stephen's wounds should have shocked the police into action to track down his killers. But he was black, and in their eyes, his death did not warrant the same urgency as that of a white person. In the years that followed, our family had to fight all the levels of the justice system, which has repeatedly denied us justice for his death. It took the establishing of the public inquiry by the New Labour government in 1997 to expose the incompetence and institutional racism that we experience at the hands of both the police and the justice system. Today marks the 10th anniversary of the publication of Stephen Lawrence Inquiry Report and its presentation to the Parliament in the House of Commons. I welcome the several reviews making the 10th anniversary, such as the academic review produced by the Portsmouth University, examining the shortfalls in police intelligence in the investigation of Stephen's murder and what changes, if any, have taken place over the last 10 years. It is unfortunate that I'm not able to stand here before you today and say with full confidence that we are living in a renewed and reformed society in which the same mistake would not and could not be repeated. The inquiry came at a time when, through years of over-policing and discrimination, confidence in the police service was severely lacking within the black community. The inquiry into Stephen's murder put the British justice system under public scrutiny in a way that no other case had before, exposing not only the many flaws of the Metropolitan Police, but also the lack of respect that they showed towards the black community that they should serve. The Lawrence inquiry vindicated what we, the family, had been saying all along. Namely, that the racism and the incompetence of the police service was the root and cause of a gross miscarriage of justice. In the early days after the publication, some police officers had tried to undermine the report. There were some who said that a recommendation from the inquiry hindered them in their work, feeling unable to stop individuals in fear that they would be labeled as racist. The fact was that some officers did not see the need to change their behavior towards the black community. And just to take this particular point, what saddened me today is that 15 years after the death of Stephen, there has been no long-term drop in stop and search within the black community. Today, black people are 7 times more likely to be stopped and searched than whites. This is not progress. And in spite of this, the government has introduced a new method of recording stops to cut back on paperwork, which I believe will further take away holding the police officers to account for their actions. This can only lead to further decrease in the trust and confidence in the police service and in effective monitoring across the justice system. One of the main recommendations of the inquiry was to develop quality of learning in the police service. Since then, a lot of work has been done to improve the skills at the leadership level. The questions we need to ask ourselves is how much impact this has had on the work of officers on the beat, those officers who have regular contact with members of the public. Would frontline officers react any differently today if faced with the same situation on the night of the 22nd of April 1993? Would Stephen be dealt with in a way that would expect an injured man should be? would they automatically see a guilty black man? Or would they see a young person bleeding on London streets? The most important need is to make sure that you are providing the right service for the community that you serve. This should be the priority. The excuse used is always the lack of funding to stop the police from delivering the right service that is appropriate. Over the last 10 years, I have worked with the Metropolitan Police Service and the government departments independently supporting the implementation of some of the recommendation that came out of the Lawrence Inquiry. I've been encouraged by the work I recently witnessed when I visited West Midland Police Service with Richard Stone, one of the advisors to the Lawrence Inquiry. We were able to see firsthand how the police working with the community had increased the confidence of the community by them working closely together. We have also seen the improvement in police investigation through the use of the family liaison officers, although the roles of these officers still are quite blurred between supporting the families and the investigating team. I've spoken to black families who are saying that the liaison officers who are assigned to them are not giving them the information as to how the investigation is going. The danger here is that black families are experiencing loss and are made to feel as if they're the perpetrator rather than the victims. Another area I feel particularly passionate about is being both a grandmother and a custodian of young people at the Stephen Lawrence Charitable Trust. The inquiry is relating to the prevention and the role of education departments and the wider problem in education system as a whole. Only a few months ago, a study from Warwick University concluded that black Caribbean pupils are subject to institutional racism in English schools. Today, fewer than 3% of head teachers are from the black and minority background, and only 5% are teachers. What worries me is the relation between these figures and those of the exclusion rates of black children. In London alone, 80% of the excluded boys are black. As with the police service, the education department must represent the people that it serves, and there must be a voracious implementation of measures to address these issues to stop children falling into the criminal justice system at a later date. It is important, as it is, to acknowledge that the positive steps that have been taken since the inquiry, we are in danger of becoming complacent by lingering over the success and forgetting the obstacles that we still must overcome. As of late, I see the government's agenda moving from the issue of race to mainstream equalities and the more sociable, acceptable notion of diversity. The question we should be asking is, have we fully addressed the issues surrounding race? Do the police force and other public bodies think they have achieved their goals in addressing institutional racism? Could they be accused of the same today? Only on Friday, it was announced that the central targets for ethnic minority recruitment into the police service are to be dropped. Why? When the target for 2009 is 7% representation, and it has taken us 10 years to get to 4.1%. Why is it deemed appropriate to pull out of the race when we only half run? I'm also disheartened about the merging of the Commission for Racial Equality to the new Equality and Human Rights Commission. And my views are shared by many of the black community. I see this as a watering down of race relation at the time when race really needs to be on the agenda. I'm told by having Trevor Phillips as chair, we have a champion to address the race issue. This does not assure me that we need that the needs of the black community will be represented. And what would assure me would be if we were given a statutory race committee and the needs of the ethnic minority communities were likely to be met by the upcoming Single Equalities Bill. The government needs to recognise and acknowledge the economic, social and cultural contribution that minority communities have made throughout this country's history. They now need to take steps to ensure that those communities have shaped modern Britain are not left behind and treated like second-class citizens. I have listened over the years to many plans, targets around race, diversity and disproportionality. Sometimes our collective failure to make difficult choices has the greatest impact on those who are most vulnerable. And so we must step out of our comfort zone and ask the question which some of us would not have asked. More than ever, it is a great urgency to bring about change, to ensure that our society is fair and fit for purpose to all, not just the privilege of those from a particular race or creed, but those who reside in the periphery, all deserve to have access to service and to the justice in this progressive society that would be most fitting legacy to Stephen. Thank you to all those of you that helped to initiate the implementation of the recommendations. But please do remember that this is still a work in progress, and our space is that for change. And change, real change, always takes time. On the 20th of January 2009, I witnessed the inauguration of the first black president of the United States of America, Barack Hussein Obama, one of so many events that have come to pass that I wish my son Stephen could have lived to see. What was so powerful about the Obama campaign was how he was able to move away from race and focus on the American people. He said he wanted to see change that we can believe in. There's a saying that when America sneezes, Britain catches the cold. This is one occasion when I would like to see us in this country catch pneumonia if needs be. We need to get into a position where we can see beyond black and white and work as an equal partner to create a truly united kingdom. Thank you.